Sales.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, open phones Friday. Paul J. and Chris, give us a call. We will talk about whatever is on your mind. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. That's 1-800-529-KBOI or #670. Free call on Verizon Wireless.
Or if you'd rather write, you can send us an instant message. Go to KBOI.com and send it through there. I've got some left over from yesterday and getting some new ones in. Gary of Emmett says, Dear Chris and Paul, the Washington Examiner has reported the military is sending F-35s to South Korea. They are part of a defense buildup, although less expensive than the F-22, $98 million each instead of $150 million per copy for the F-22. The F-35 is a fifth-generation fighter. If the Norks want to jump, they will be dead before they remove their fingers from the button. That is, if the technology lives up to the hype. Stealth fighters can operate over enemy airspace unobserved. The F-22 is battle-proven. Now we will see if the F-35 is a worthy substitute. And, you know, there's always a possibility that they might end up at Gowan Field.
Well, people are complaining about how noisy they are.
Yeah, which is why they might not.
Well, if they're stealth, how can they be noisy?
Oh, good point.
The North Koreans will know when they're coming.
Yeah, good point.
We can't have it both ways. Are they noisy or are they stealth?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We need to know.
Dave of Boise says the local government is out of control. It is unacceptable for them to make it possible for our governor to do as he pleases with no one to stop him. That's a broken system, and it needs to stop, regardless of what he ultimately does or
What's
does not do.
What's he referring to here?
It's no way to get things done, I'll tell you. We the people ultimately suffer in the long run. How long are we going to allow our government to run amok at our expense? We were talking yesterday that there were a few bills that were passed at the last minute, including the grocery tax, and I think that's the one he's talking about, that the governor may veto. And, of course, the legislature doesn't get to override that because they've left town now.
But that is allowing our governor to run amok to use a law that's been in place for decades.
Well, I think he figures had they passed the bill a month ago and then the governor vetoed it right away, they could override the veto. But, you know, they waited too long. And so now they have to wait till next year if he overrides it with a veto. I mean, if he... Vetoes it. Yeah, exactly. And David of Boise says, I think all the adult teachers and any school faculty that had anything to do with it be fired immediately. That was the little girl who pretended that her finger was a gun. She was a kindergarten girl.
It wasn't a finger. It was a twig.
Oh, that's right. She picked up a twig or something and pretended it was a gun.
Shaped like a gun.
Exactly. And they suspended her from school and sent home a note and everything. The girl didn't understand, but he goes on to say, we do not need this mentality in our country.
Nope.
And I like the yesterday the disgruntled vet wrote in and said that the parents should sue the school for having trees that had branches in the shape of guns, which makes just as much sense to me.
And the twig was shaped like a melted hockey stick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just had something, I suppose... If you and you know, basically, we said you are criticizing these kids for using their imagination,
right? And he goes on to say, maybe instead of expelling the child, they should instead use it as a teaching moment and explain to the child the best way possible why it's wrong in this day and age to do whatever the child is doing. Maybe that would be an excellent excuse to introduce gun and weapons handling in class all the way through school from kindergarten through 12th grades. We live in a gun-friendly country. Why on earth wouldn't we want to educate our young ones the best way to possible, which is at school and at home?
No, that's pretty good. Instant message right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think you should be able to pretend if you're not infringing on somebody else's safety or somebody else's mental frame of being.
And the thing is, it was with when I was, you know, a little
all
kid.
All we
in school,
did when I was a kid was play.
Yeah, all we did
Civil War.
Exactly.
Korean War.
We played war every
war.
We played war about every recess, or, you know, or something.
Bang, bang.
And
bang, bang.
The thing is, I mean, we wouldn't have thought of it anyway, but they didn't want us to do anything that was just outrageously, you know, gross or disgusting.
Oh, come on. Now, wait a minute.
In pretending.
Wait.
All right.
How good were you at dying?
Oh.
Huh?
You kidding? Best death scenes ever.
No, mine were.
did you do this?
No, I didn't.
It's kind of like you're shouting out to the sky.
I
got that from Lauren Green in Battlestar Galactica.
I was the staggerer,
yeah.
You know? Get shot and you'd stagger.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Fall down, get up on one leg. They'd shoot you again. You'd fall over backwards.
I love that years ago.
Get up,
about 19,
stagger some more.
I don't remember who it was, but in 1980, somebody was describing. They said, "I've seen people shot.
Yeah,
they don't clutch their chest and then walk around and fall.
No.
They do this. Okay, I'll get back from the microphone a little. I'm shot. Like that.
Well, finally, the people would go, Schneider, would you die?
Yeah.
We're running out of recess.
Patrick of Caldwell says, wasn't there a kid suspended for biting his cheese sandwich into the shape of a gun? I think the people who decide to suspend kids for these stupid reasons need to be shown the door. If you can't exercise a little common sense, then you don't need to be in a position of power. Well, what I was going to say is...
Sweet little lies.
Things have gotten to the point where they believe that shooting another human being is something bad enough that they don't want their kids to even pretend to do it. However, they can still watch it on TV every single day. And, and play video games where they can do it a lot more graphically than they do on the playground.
Might be a generational thing, but it's...
Could be.
So silly to me.
Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Thank you, Rick Worthington. Open phones Friday. Let's get to it. Steve of Boise, good morning.
Morning, Paul J. You know, every time I bring up the bus and the subsidy, you always come up with some guy that doesn't have a car.
Right.
Well, if we took that $18 million that we subsidized the bus with, we can buy 3,600 cars a year, and we could give them to those people, and then they would have to have their own, put in their own money into the economy through gas, insurance, and it would grow the economy instead of paying taxes to somebody to grow an enterprise that runs at about less than 10% efficiency.
Well, that's a clever solution, and I salute you for it, but those people can't afford insurance and tires and
well, they're
upkeep.
Working, Paul J.
Well,
but you know, I
know, and I feel your frustration. I really do, and it bugs the crap out of me.
Property.
It bugs the crap out of me to see these empty buses driving all over town.
Yeah, and I drive around all day, and I see that. And, you know, it'd be one thing if the bus was really needed. I mean, we got rid of it once for about, 10, 15 years, and then they brought it back. They had to have federal aid to bring it in here.
Yep.
And now we still have the city taxes paying for it. And, you know, it would just lower our tax bill. I know my tax would go down by about $250.
How much of the bus funding is paid by 10%. Federal government?
Oh, the federal government? None. But
none?
It's about 10% of our property taxes, or the city budget.
Mm-hmm. It's not workable the way it is now. I agree 100%.
Well,
but
you know, and we've been saying that for 20 years. You know, at some point you have to, you know...
come up with a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if
how about moving sidewalks?
Well,
where are we going to move
that
them to?
Or make the bus less subsidized? You know, raise the rates a little bit. You know, they charge $1 to ride the bus.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Make it $2, then up to $4. You know, just keep raising the rates until it. You know,
until people can't afford to ride the bus.
Well,
give them another reason not to ride it.
That's what I'm saying. The bus is not economically viable.
Well, the problems I see. Granted, I don't know the routes. A lot of people complain about the routes. The bus doesn't go where they need it to go. It doesn't run late enough at night.
To their house or apartment.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, there's
I don't know
a better
what the solution
to transportation besides the bus.
Yeah.
Uber, subsidizing Uber with our tax dollars. I mean, there's so many other options besides the bus. And besides that, you could get it personalized that way rather than having a bus route. You could just make a phone call. And, you know, people have cell phones that are poor. They have some way of communicating because they're always complaining. So they have the phone. So, you know, and then have somebody come pick them up and let the city pick up the tab. To me, that would be more personal. It'd be more beneficial to the people using that ride service.
That's really interesting. I wonder what kind of abuses there'd be, if any.
Well, that's a good question. But, you know,
how can there be abuses, right? I mean, if you're going to take the bus to a movie, you're going to take Uber to a movie. If you got Uber
or
for nothing.
Ride with a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's enough vehicles out there to go around for everybody. We don't have to have people without cars.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve. And Steve and I have gone around and around on this.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people need to have a way to get to work, and he's saying it's too expensive. And he's right, probably. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Hello there. As far as the legislature walking off the job, they should be fired and their pay somewhat withheld.
Well, they don't get paid. They just get per diem.
Well, whatever.
Well,
prorated.
No, they do get paid.
Yeah, there is payment.
But
for
they
what
did
they
walk off the job before their job was done. Any other employee would be fired.
Well, technically, they kind of do that every year, though, don't they?
Well, I mean, you know, what good is it if you leave, you know, they're abrogating their job. If the governor vetoes it, their job is to try to override the veto.
Okay, mm-hmm. We need to put a time limit on how long the governor has to veto a bill then.
Well, doesn't he have like 10 days or whatever it is?
Yeah, we could shorten it to
from when it hits his desk.
We could shorten it to 10 minutes or so.
Well, you got to make it workable.
Yeah, but I mean, that is part of their job,
mm-hmm.
to sit there, and if that happens, that's their job. They're abrogating their job.
Boy, it's 10 days, though, of sitting around. That's going to be expensive.
Well, make it shorter. Or, see, the thing is, I think that they waste a lot of time. They could get these bills done much sooner whatever.
You're right. You're absolutely right there. It seems like the first two-thirds of the legislative session, nothing gets done.
So that's my comment.
Yeah,
there could be a tighter deadline for sending a bill to committee, you know, introducing a bill that you've written. Like if you do it on the last day of the session.
Well, they don't, though. Well, they do if it's
an emergency.
Yeah, or something that's preventing them from leaving.
Of course, it only becomes an emergency if they don't do anything about it for 3.5 months.
Open phones Friday, Idaho Talks Live. Give us a call, 336-3700.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. Open phones Friday. Give us a call, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless. We'll get you on the air and talk about whatever you want to talk about this morning.
Martin of Caldwell has written in. As I said earlier, you can go to kboy.com, send us an instant message through that website. Martin of Caldwell says, good morning. Interesting topic would be why the guy and gal who caused the traffic jam in New Jersey get prison time, and the bankers who caused the 2008 financial meltdown got bonuses. That's a really good point. And if you've seen that, I'm not sure what, I can't remember the name of the movie. It's on Netflix, but it's about you know, the situation that happened in 2008. And in one of the scenes, the CEOs are all gathered around a table and being told that they're going to be bailed out by the government. And one guy raises his hand and he says, can we still stick to our current bonus structure?
Yeah,
and
he's serious.
They're getting bailed out because they're all going, you know, absolutely bankrupt. And this guy says, well, you know, as a CEO, I should still be able to get my bonus.
Yeah, it's absolutely, but ridiculous.
But there again, I mean, Chris Christie,
Yeah, how does he get out?
He got cleared of all responsibility for that traffic jam, and the two people that actually, you know, called it out to happen, who kind of, you know, implied that it was Chris Christie's idea.
Yeah.
They're going to prison for 18 months and 2 years each, I think.
Yeah.
Or respectively.
Yeah, young kids, basically. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, whoa. Are you there, Rich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't have time today, but I'm going to find out what the annual ridership for the bus system is, multiply it by the cost of an Uber ride.
It seems, you know, and I go back and forth with Steve on this. People have to have ways to get to work.
His reasoning is ridiculous.
Yeah, buy him a car.
Well, his numbers, I think, costing us each $200, I think. But it's what I call it. I am going to look that up and do some research on those numbers. Well, I just imagine what the good he'd have if they were all riding Ubers to work. But I want to call, you know, Trump, his tweets, well, they're lies. That's what they were. He just made them up about Obama wiretapping him and all this stuff. And the story keeps going on. They came in, that Nunes came out last week and said he had some information that it had nothing to do with it, but it kind of vindicated Trump a little bit. But it turns out that Nunes got his information from the White House, goes out and calls a press conference, and then makes a big deal about running over to the White House to tell them about the new information he got.
Which was absolutely the most foolish thing in his position he could possibly do.
Oh, I mean, even people on his side aren't defending him. I mean, the whole thing, when he came out and did that, it was weird anyway, because there was no information in the statement he gave. It was unnamed sources, and people may possibly have been overheard, and you know, it was kind of information at best. It would be like if I was being wiretapped and I called your show. Well, that doesn't mean you're being investigated, but the whole thing just started out as a ridiculous thing, and then got worse. You know,
reason it's getting worse is because it was not his job, no matter what he found out. It was never his job to go alert the president.
Well,
he's supposed to be the guy investigating what's going on, not alerting anybody who might need to know.
I know, and then he gets up there, and he's interviewed, I don't know, maybe it's just kind of his personality and body movement, but he acts like somebody who is, like, really guilty of something.
Well, he acts like that now because I think I don't think he had the slightest idea that there would be this much pushback from him going over to the White House.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was just kind of his demeanor, but he just seemed like he did something wrong and got caught when he first started. I just thought that happens all the time in Washington, though. They will take a simple thing and they will turn it into a big, giant mess.
Yeah, there are no simple things in Washington.
There's one thing they do in Washington a lot, and that is they try to keep up appearances, thinking that everyone will buy what it is they're saying. And this is both Republicans and Democrats and everybody else in Washington, D.C. They generally assume that everybody in the public is kind of dim. Now, I understand they do have...
Yeah, available to be duped.
They do have precedent because they've gotten away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like I think they figure the reporters are stupid now, too.
Well, one thing is that, you know, Trump, the campaign, kind of, if he would have just came out and said, oh, yeah, I saw these things and I was mad and sent out these tweets, I mean, he probably could have just got away with that.
Yeah.
Because he did that before, but I don't know now... I mean, I don't know. Now the way it's blown up is just, I mean, it's just like a continuing soap opera every day now.
Yeah, it sure is. All right. Thanks, Rich.
It ended up almost being a gift for the Democrats, okay, because when the president tweeted that he was very sure that he was being wiretapped by Obama, he was meaning to say that obviously the Obama administration did something illegal and they wiretapped me, and Obama needs to go to prison for this. But what ended up happening is they said that in order to wiretap anybody or surveil anybody, you have to go through the legal system to do it. Now, not if you're doing it illegally, of course, but that normally the president can't wiretap anybody anyway. But even if somebody requested a wiretap, it would have to go through a federal judge. And for the federal judge to agree to it, there would have to be proof that something was going on.
Yeah.
And so they said, as soon as the president said, hey, I'm being wiretapped, they said, yeah, well, why is that?
Yeah, true. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more of your phone calls on an Open Phones Friday.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time 918. KBOI rewards code FOOLS, F-O-O-L-S, F-O-O-L-S.
Because tomorrow
is April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm. Ah. And it's also the Final Four.
Final Four.
But the word is still
fools. Fools, yeah. F-O-O-L-S.
Like, look at those fools who paid to get into the Final Four.
5,000 rewards points. All right, let's go to the phones and Mark. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Like usual, Rich's fuzzy Marxist logic never ceases to amaze me. I want to talk about spying here. I've called into the show in the past and mentioned about how your own government, which we all know, NSA, CIA, FBI, spy on us. I had emailed you guys an article from WikiLeaks, Vault 7, titled Dark Matter, claims that unreleased documents that the Central Intelligence Agency has been bugging factory-fresh ICE phones since 2008. WikiLeaks further claims that the CIA has the capability to permanently bug all iPhones, even if their operating systems are deleted or replaced. Now, if you can, go to today to the Daily Mail on the Drudge Report. It's highlighted in red. Latest, WikiLeaks release shows how the CIA uses computer code to hide the origins of its hacking attacks and disguise them as Russian or Chinese activity. I have said this for years, that is our own government that has been doing the hacking here. I've said it for years.
You know what? I have absolutely, let's put it this way. The last couple of weeks, I've been watching C-SPAN and a lot of these hearings, and I have absolutely no reason to doubt that's exactly what could have happened.
Isn't that something?
I mean, what is the thing they use to track cars? What's the thing
you get in boxes?
GM cars. No, in GM cars.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. OnStar.
OnStar.
Oh, that.
Yeah. See, I'm not paranoid. I don't think I'm a paranoid person. I'm paranoid about OnStar. I would never buy a car. No, I wouldn't.
Thanks, Paul.
I would never buy a car with OnStar in it because somebody knows where you are at all times.
Well, here's the thing, though, Paul.
And I know it's for good stuff, you know.
Like if you happen to drive into a canyon by accident.
But here's the thing. Most of your new cars built in the last 10 years or more have already the black box that the government can find you anywhere with their satellite, their blackbirds over our space. They can find you in a specific car, knowing your name, your VIN number, where you live, all that. They could still track your car.
Now, do they still have OnStar, Mark?
I believe they do.
I'm not sure they do anymore because of all the. Yeah, I mean, cars now come with computers. They all come with computers in them. I have a computer in my new car. So you're right. They know where I am.
No, it's scary. You know, it really is that we are living in a George Orwell's nightmare multiplied times 10, and that it's just shades of Mao Zedong's communist China, Stasi from East Germany, Russia, KGB, all rolled into one, and even worse.
You know what's funny is I don't remember who said it, but it was a scholar that had studied George Orwell a lot, and he said what people don't seem to understand about George Orwell is when he wrote the book, 1984, even though he said it in the future, which at that time was the year 1984, he was writing about the present.
Yeah.
Because of radio and TV and things like that coming out and mass communication, he figured that everybody was already being brainwashed.
Well, did you ever recall that Al Gore had even mentioned that that was one of his favorite books? I'll let you go on that one, guys. That's the truth. That was he actually came out.
It's an inconvenient truth, but it is the truth, right?
Yeah. You guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, and Todd with 1D just checked on OnStar. Still available, $350 a year.
Well, that'd be cheap at half the price.
Well, that's what, $30 a month almost.
Yeah, sure.
You know when we get these stories in winter about old people, and I'm saying old people, and I am one, but who drive up in the mountains, take a wrong turn, and freeze to death. You know,
right? Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm laughing.
But GPS, OnStar, and that sort of thing, that would be a great time to have it.
Well, but what I'm saying is the OnStar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can press something on there, right, and go, help me.
Yeah.
Help me.
Well, that's what it's for.
Yeah. So that
sort of
would
be like, I've driven into the woods and I can't get up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
like
so that would be a great use for that. And I'm just wondering. Because they find my computer? Now, I'm just asking this question because I have a computer in the dashboard of my car, and I can do email on it and get all this stuff and send pictures. And so if I messaged on my computer,
mm-hmm.
where the blank am I? I'm mm-hmm. lost. Could they triangulate and find me?
Probably, yeah. They probably wouldn't even have to triangulate. Just, you know, check your GPS coordinates.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
You can see the value
Do you remember the other day I read you this thing that said that one of the smartest things you can do if you are an outdoorsman who, you know, nobody else can keep up with. In other words, you are out there and hiking
and
you're out in the wilderness and you do your own thing, you know, like the guy in 127 hours.
Yeah.
That it would be probably it would behoove you to occasionally tweet or send Facebook messages or something out there saying, here's where I am, you know, look at this, because then all of a sudden if 2 or 3 days go by
and people
realize they haven't heard from you, they have clues of where to look for you. On the other hand, we're also in an age right now where a whole bunch of celebrities have been, you know, sending out on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, like, hey, I'm in Montreal today and I'm doing all blah blah, and then they get home and someone has robbed their property because they knew nobody was there.
Well, you know, that's the reason I always have somebody stay at my house when I go.
Right.
And it's also
plus your dogs will eat someone if they
well,
come.
Well, they will.
Yeah.
Which is why I have someone stay in my home.
Oh, good, a burglar.
The house.
Oh, good, a burglar. I was hungry.
Yeah.
You can just see that look on your dog's face.
But you're right. You got to be careful with what you do on social media,
mm-hmm.
because those boring, and nobody wants to see your glass of wine more than twice.
Hey, look, here's a picture of my child, and here's his school schedule. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. 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 Boy, it's good to be away from my home at 835 East Main Street, 83701. And be down here in Mexico
where
I can't get home.
Do you remember they used to do that when somebody would die or something in an accident? They would put their address in the newspaper story.
I know.
And so people are like, hey, open house.
And then they would say, funeral at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
And they
and
so
at 1
know,
o'clock on Saturday, they're robbing your house.
Exactly. Everybody in the family is at the funeral.
KBOI News Time, 9:26. Open phones Friday underway.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, Paul J. And no, he just hung up. Had a caller on the line.
Well,
all
I got,
ready to take him.
Got an instant message right here from Boise Rabble Rouser who said, guys, now that Congress and President Trump have authorized our ISPs to track our every internet move, please visit, okay, then this is the website, screwyouswampmonsters.com, early and often.
Wow.
Well, and I told you, too, about there's a new app that you can add, and anytime you're on the internet and surfing around, it will open up a different window, and it will just start searching for weird stuff, like two words that don't go together, like, coffee eagle.
Yeah,
it'll get you pictures of coffee eagle, and then it'll search for some other, you know, thing like floor ceiling or just anything. You know, it's just random words. And so what it's supposed to do is confound the people who are paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. The guy who called, he was the guy that had OnStar, paid the $360 a year, and liked it, that a lot.
Okay.
And used it for a lot of stuff, which is good. And like I say, I'm not a paranoid person, but there's something about when you get up at 4:30 in the morning, you turn your car on.
Mm-hmm.
You can see this guy in a government agency going, "All right, we got Schneider in Boise, Idaho. Back in. Looks like he's going to work. We'll follow him until he gets there."
See, that's how you solve unemployment. Is the government should hire one spy for every person that isn't a spy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I always drink coffee on the way to work. He has been stopped here at Warm Springs for quite a while.
He's making a slurping noise.
And we have a camera there on the street light. We'll zoom in. Oh, he's drinking coffee. He's okay.
Mark in Meridian says there are more than $500 million of sales tax relief for Idaho businesses, yet none for the common groceries for the regular person. If you need revenue, then apply the sales tax to businesses for at least something.
Yeah, see, I can financially, and Lord knows I've dealt a little bit with the legislature. I'm not good at it, and
well, who is really? Because you get frustrated.
They confuse you.
30, 40 seconds.
Yeah, they confuse you, and so I get this guy's point, but then the governor or whoever will come back and say, "What we want here is to have the best business climate for new businesses coming in to the state of Iowa.
However,
we are in competition with 49 other states.
However, you do have to weigh the expenses of everything else.
I know it.
Yeah.
But we're in competition with 49 other states to get these people the lower we can get the business tax, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And then I'll go, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, well, yeah, but the general public's getting screwed because we have to pay. And then I'll go, well, that makes sense.
Welcome to my world. Anyway, David A. in Meridian says, raising the prices at Fish and Game is not going to help them at all. I, for one, will no longer buy a license at all, nor tags. This is the first time in my life that this will happen. The reason is that hunting is ruined in this state, and it's only getting worse. There are restrictions that keep me out of areas I have hunted for years. They are making several bad decisions that are putting them out of business. Things should be getting cheaper, and we should be allowed to go wherever we wish these days, not more expensive and restricted from going to our favorite places. If the land or animals are being abused, it's their job to enforce that, not to close it down so no one can use it at all. That reminds me, back in the, 70s and 80s, those wilderness, land of no use, and then other people said wilderness, land of no abuse. And those bumper stickers were everywhere. Yeah.
And you're gone.
Yeah, what?
Well, that makes sense.
Ron of Boise says, on the topic of sidewalks, children here in Boise are walking next to cars traveling over 30 miles per hour. On the depot bench, there are less than 50% sidewalk coverage for students walking to Monroe Elementary and South Junior High Schools. You mentioned your daughter yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, streets between where we live and a relatively, well, it's not relatively, my house was built in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been up there since then. We have sidewalks. We live on top of a hill. Sidewalks that go down to the hill. But once you get to the bottom in kind of an older part of East Boise, there's no sidewalks.
Yeah, just lawns.
Yeah, no sidewalks. So if Natalie can walk to school, she's way out of it now.
Right.
But if she zigzagged around, didn't go on the shortest a way to school.
Get there by...
She could stay on
10:30, 11 o'clock.
Exactly.
He goes on to say, Owyhee Street is located right between the two schools and has a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit and no speed bumps.
Good.
Guess how fast cars are driving on that street?
48.
Over the years, probably, several kids have been hit on Owyhee Street, but the most recent being Max. If you recall, he was hit while riding his bicycle and was trapped under the car. That was on Owyhee Street, just two blocks from Monroe Elementary. We need to get serious about traffic enforcement. We had three incidents in the past few months with my wife being hit twice. Luckily, she and the kids were okay each time. Bad drivers have a real cost to our community. When will Idaho get serious and increase the traffic penalties to the point where people take bad driving habits seriously? Well, some already do.
Well, some don't, though, and I agree with them. There are some bad drivers. The thing that gets me is the aggression. in drivers. People cutting you off. The other day I was doing, 40 miles an hour going up State Street, and this guy zooms around me and cuts right in front of me. He didn't miss me by more than 8-10 inches.
Yeah.
I wasn't going fast enough for him, and I was going 5 miles over the speed limit.
That's what keeps happening to Debbie, too, and she'll point that out. Look at that. That guy just, whipped around and cut in front of me.
And I just, I told...
And my dad taught driver's ed, so the whole time I was growing up, he would say, okay, see that guy? And then we'd 14 blocks later, we'd be at the same light together.
Exactly. And he'd burn 2.5 gallons of gas, and you'd burned a quart.
Yeah. Stoplights are the great equalizer.
Yeah.
Bud of Ada County
says... There's something to be said, though, for dash-mounted machine guns.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah.
That makes it an unequalizer.
Yeah.
You have the advantage.
Just paint. You don't need to kill anybody. Just paintball guns.
Over anybody who doesn't
have... Dash-mounted paintball machine guns.
Dash-mounted gun. Bud of Ada County says, will the federal money be better than those shovel-ready projects? I hope so. Talking about the federal money for roads.
Yeah, yeah. And remember the shovel-ready...
Yeah, exactly.
How did they know it had to be shovel ready and we didn't?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones getting the money.
And there was what was it? There was a guy that was standing. I remember there was a poster that came out. There was a guy or a meme or whatever it's called. The guy standing in front of a whole field of cows and says, I have a shovel ready project for you. Micah Boise says, funny how Idaho turned down Medicaid expansion because it doubted the Fed's ability to pay for it. But now future funds highway based on future Fed funds. Makes sense, huh?
See, that's what I mean. I couldn't be in the legislature.
Basing anything on future funds is kind of risky, no matter how you do it.
I spent all my time going, oh, yeah?
And me from here, that's how they signed it, says, I think the point is that no one takes the bus. Well, some people do. Now, generally, if there is something...
Generally, if
there is a public service that is meant essentially for the poor, yes, the majority of the people will not be using it, but the ones who need to will.
Agreed.
And, that's just kind of a thing we do to pretend we're nice in this country.
Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, to be nice in this country.
Yeah. What you said.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Oh. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
The local SWAT team was busy on Thursday while the rest of us were worried about flooding. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. This show can't end soon enough. This Todd with 1D is out of control. All right.
And yet in control at the same time, because that's his job.
Let's go to Mark in Caldwell. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. I got a question and then a couple of comments. I heard you guys talking about the way people drive.
Yeah.
Did the legislature pass that ridiculous being able to drive 15 miles per hour over the pass?
You mean that you can do it? I believe they did. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I kind of thought they did. And, a couple of years ago they passed that you could start doing 80 miles an hour, the state maximum speed limit. And I keep wondering to myself, do they write these kind of laws to benefit themselves because they want to be able to get to the, to Boise and as quick as they can and not be able to pass people on these rural highways that, you're doing 65 or even 60 and they're saying that now you can do 70 and 75 to pass somebody on a rural highway? It's just absolutely ridiculous.
How fast do you think we should be able to drive?
The speed limit.
Yeah, okay. What would be a good speed limit then?
Well, 65 is fine by me.
I think that is the perfect speed.
On the freeway?
Yeah, 65 miles an hour. And let me tell you why. You start going over 65, I have one of those cars with a computer, and I have had before, that tells you how many miles to the gallon you're getting. Once you get over 65, man, that goes right down.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that everybody's in a hurry. It doesn't matter if it's a legitimate reason or not. Everybody is in a bigger hurry than the other guy.
Yep, and they're more important than the other guy.
Yeah, and I drive the freeway. I do 65 in and 65 home, and I never pass anybody. Everybody is passing me.
Yep.
And that's no exaggeration.
No, I agree. I agree. I have a place in New Plymouth. I go out there, and I do go up to 80 on the 80 thing. just for self-defense.
Yeah, but you're still within the speed limit.
Yeah, I'm still going to speed limit, but, you know, my gas mileage drops off. But I agree. I think 65 is fine.
And if you're doing 80 on the interstate, incidentally, and you get to a place where it's kind of congested and you want to get around somebody, does that mean it's okay to do 95?
No. Well, yeah, I guess it does.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm not going to do it, but yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah,
I wonder what the rule would be on how fast are you allowed to go if you're just trying to get away from somebody who's annoying you?
Oh, there's another good one.
Yeah, and
15 miles over the speed.
And like, what if they're in your car?
Well, you know, and one more question you may know the answer to. Didn't they report in the news either last year or the year before that the incidence of traffic collisions had increased and they weren't quite sure why?
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with speed? I mean, people can barely handle basic driving, let alone the high speed, you know, if you have to do something evasive because of suddenly there's a bull on the road, and that turns into, well, I better not go that way.
Yeah, and, you know.
But you are correct about that.
Yeah, you are correct. And
what you were implying.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mark, for the call.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Leave earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Leave earlier. Let's go to Bill of Weezer. Bill, you're on 670 KBOI.
Good morning, Paul and Chris. This is Dell, by the way.
No? Oh, hi, Dell.
Yeah. I listened to Gary's conversation with you folks yesterday. And, you know, Gary really has things pretty well thought out before he gives you a jingle. And I think the only thing that didn't quite come out in what he was suggesting on that Caldwell section is all of our focus is on that one spot. And you don't just build a freeway the next year. There's about a three-year lag time where you fill out your environmental impact statements. You go through condemnation proceedings on the land.
It's like a 12-year deal just to fix that portion.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't take that long.
But
the point, I think the point Gary was trying to make, and I agree with, is your focus. They are focused just on that one spot. And surely there are other spots in this country, in this state, that really needs some more attention to, like the Gold Road up north. But you know, if they would just get those things all lined up, get the detailed stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot, and have those things ready, then when a big bonus comes along like this deal that Trump is promising, then you're ready to move on it.
Yeah.
You know, we should have learned from Obama that
shovel-ready
projects aren't necessarily shovel-ready. So,
exactly.
They're always ready in Washington to shovel something, though. So.
Yeah, they shoveled that money someplace, but it wasn't on the roads.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, I think there's more to building and maintaining Idaho's roads than just one freeway section at a time. And then looking around.
Yeah.
I think back when Kemp Thorne came up with that idea, that bond issue some years ago now, one of the things he suggested was from Indian Valley down to Ona.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you really look at it strategically, that really would save a lot of trucks, fuel. It would save a lot of people time, and it would really economically benefit the state. Now, I'm sure Weezer and Cambridge and a couple of places like that would
they'd dry up and blow away. All right, thanks for your call. We are out of time.
Especially the businesses right by the highway.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for the call. Dell, for the call. Remember when they fixed 55 between here and McCall? And everybody said, that's just because those rich politicians want to drive up there to their cabins. That's why they pass that.
Well, at least it got done.
Point taken. KBOI News Time, 9:56. We'll see you next week right here.